No, so a few weeks ago at Q&A, maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, someone asked me about the first mitzvah in the parsha. So as surprising as it always is, how does Mishpatim, this, right, the collection of monetary law, the most extensive collection in the Torah, what is the mitzvah that kicks it off? Yes, Ki Tikne Eved Ivri. Which is always, you know, relatively surprising. I'm debating what to start with. No, you know what? I'll start. I won't, because we're talking about Eved Ivri. Let me focus on something in Eved Ivri. So, I don't normally actually, you know, read through Hasidish works, but I found something in Tzfas Emes that I was actually, I liked a lot, so I'll share it with you. I wrote it up for Toronto Torah this week. He connects something in the end of this week's parasha with the beginning of this week's parasha. So, what is perhaps the two most famous words in Parshat Mishpatim that everyone thinks is in Parshat Yitro, but is not? I'll let Sean answer. Nasa v'nishma, thank you. Right, Nasa v'nishma. The, correct. By Yitro, it's only Nasa. But, now, Rashi, now the reason you think it's in Yitro is because you think like Rashi. Right? That Rashi, following Chazal, thinks that Ein Mukdam U'Mu'char B'Torah, and the entire scene there of Nasa v'nishma is actually pre-Sinai and is actually part of Perek Yutet. Right? It happens at the same time as Perek Yutet in Shemot. The Ramban does not believe this, because the Ramban tries to read things chronologically. But Chazal and Rashi follows them, moves it back to pre-Sinai, though in Chumash, it follows at the end of Mishpatim rather than before Matan Torah in Yitro. Okay, now the Chazal already begin to link Nasa v'Nishma to that first mitzvah in the Parsha. How do they do that? How do Chazal, in a well-known comment by Rashi, link Eved Ivri to Nasa v'Nishma? Eved Ivri, not Eved Kenani. So, if the Eved wants to remain a slave, so then what happens? Because he says, "Ahavtir Adoni et ishti ved banai lo etzei chavshi." So he's allowed to stay a slave until the Yovel. And in order, what's part of that process is what do you have to do? Pierce his ear by the door. And the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Chabet that Rashi quotes asks the question, why is the ear? Why is ear? So, what do Chazal answer? Ozen sheshama al har Sinai kili b'nei Yisrael avadim v'halach kekana adam l'atzmo tirtza. A someone who heard at har Sinai, you are my slaves, God's slaves, implying not slaves to human beings, and nevertheless he went and acquired for himself a slave, his ear should be pierced. So the Tzfas Emes asked what I think is a very good question, which is, really, that's the problem? Right? I would have thought that the problem isn't what he heard, but what he did. Meaning, the problem is that he is now taking on a commitment to serve a master for the remainder of the Yovel, which is going to inhibit his ability to freely pursue Avodat Hashem. It's a little bit odd to say that his sin primarily is with what he heard. That's a little bit odd. Meaning, really, it's that he is committed to doing something. Right? That seems to be the problem. So the Tzfas Emes says, well, let's say that, let's take the Midrash very carefully. The Midrash says there's a problem in hearing. Okay. So for Chazal, as we know from Rashi, at that moment where God declared, I'm God, you serve me, the Aseret HaDibrot, so the Jews responded, Naseh V'Nishma. So Shmi'a is clearly central in Chazal's imagination of the acceptance of the Torah, right? Because Chazal moved it back to Parshat Yitro, so Naseh V'Nishma is critical there. And if Chazal are also linking his sin to Shmi'a, to his ear, because there's something he didn't accept at Har Sinai, so then you have to follow the clues that Chazal think that the word Nishma is central to the acceptance of the Torah, and it means something different than Na'aseh. Okay, so then what's the difference? So what he suggests is as follows. He says maybe what it means, and there are many ways of understanding Na'aseh and Nishma, but I think what he says is nice. He says Na'aseh is where someone commits to doing exactly what they're required to do. You tell me something, I'll do it. Naseh. But it's a minimalist attitude. Meaning, I'm Toran. This is what I have to do is Toran. This is what I will do is Toran. I'll do it. Right? But if Yuri forgets that I'm Tehran, doesn't tell me that I'm Tehran, and someone else does it for me, and I miss that on the day, good, right? I'll do what I'm required to do. Tell me what to do, I'll do it, and that's it. But I'm not looking, right? I'm not looking to do more. What's Nishma? Nishma is, even once I'm finished doing, I'm checking off the boxes, I'm open to hearing what else I can do, because I don't view it as a burden, and therefore I'm going to fulfill it in the most minimalist way possible, but I'm going to explore what else can I do. I want to hear, I want to understand, I want to pursue a maximalist lifestyle. So Na'aseh is, I'll do what I have to do, minimalist, and Nishma is, and I will pursue more. I'll try to understand, I'll try to expand. Right? And that's less about doing because it's more about attitude. Right? It's more about I'm open to hear because I don't just want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to hear what this is about. I want to, so that I can think and talk and figure out how to pursue a lifestyle that's in line with these ideas, even though I'm not obligated to. So the Sfat Emet then says, well, let's think about it. This is a Jewish slave, an Eved Ivri, not an Eved Kanani, again, Chaim. An Eved Ivri is chayv in all mitzvot. Right? He's chayv in all mitzvot. So practically, he can keep all the mitzvot. There's no lack in his na'aseh. But, as the Sfat Emet says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'betrug im briotav, if he doesn't have the ability, if he doesn't pursue a maximalist religious lifestyle, because he can't, because now all his free time is taken up because he's a slave, God will forgive him, meaning his master has to give him time to do his basic obligations because he's still a Jew, but he's a slave, so he doesn't have to give him extra time to learn and, you know, an hour to daven with kavana rather than half an hour to daven minimally or whatever, right? He doesn't have to give him the opportunities to pursue chesed because he's a slave. So the Sfat Emet says, you know what, when someone says, I want to be a slave, what he's doing implicitly is saying, I'm okay with checking off the minimum boxes in my Avodat Hashem. And then all my other free time, my master can tell me what to do. I have no interest in figuring out what else I could do with my time. What other vision, what other maximalist religious life I could pursue, I don't care. It's just easier to have someone else provide for me, provide for my family, right? Tell me what to do, right? And if that means that I can't pursue a maximalist religious life, so that's fine. I don't really care. So the Sfat Emet says he's not failing in na'aseh. He's doing exactly, he's still going to keep the mitzvah. The slave owner has to give him that ability. But by accepting a total service to the master, because of commitments to the master, or even to his family, he's giving up on the opportunity to have free time. And free time is when?
we find ways of going beyond, of expressing our belief that following a godly life is an opportunity that we explore in the most expansive ways that we can. A slave can't do that, and apparently this person is okay with that. So as Rav Emmet says, his problem isn't that he's not doing the Torah. He's not keeping the Torah. He is. He has to. The problem is the nishma, is that by taking on another master, he's cut off the ability to explore the more amorphous but maximalist ways of living religious life, the nishma. And the Sfas Emet doesn't quote this, but I think it's relevant. I've quoted this before. The Yerushalmi, I said this in the Shema Shir, right? But the Yerushalmi says that what mitzvah is a slave putzer from? Shema. Why? Presumably he's talking about an Eved Kanani, I assume. But why? Because Shema is about Kabbalat O Malchut Shamayim, and you can only be obligated if you only have one Adon and not another Adon. And the Yerushalmi, I think, is getting at that same point, right? That it's not, right, for the Sfas Emet, this is key to Nasa and Ishmael, when we accepted the Torah itself. Shema is our daily acceptance of O Malchut Shamayim. And what does the Yerushalmi say? Having another person who orients your life, right, another set of obligations orients your life, is anathema to truly accepting what it means to accept the yoke of heaven. Because accepting the yoke of heaven requires that being a total obligation. Both the things you're obligated to do, but also orienting the way you think about the world and what you do in your free time when you're not technically obligated. Having another master, even if you can check off the boxes for both people and God, whatever, both masters, it doesn't allow you to orient your life around that pursuit, right? And that's the problem. And so the Sfas Emet argues that that's what Chazal are getting at, that it's not a problem in the Nasa, it's a problem in the Nishma, which I thought was a nice idea, and it nicely ties together the opening and closing of Mishpatim. Okay, we'll stop with that.